Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown, and I have to tell you, I have missed my Life Remix family for the last 2 days. I have not been totally gone and out of pocket. I had to do some stuff with my son, get him ready for school, do some school stuff, you know, my mommy duties. And you know what? I really tried to get everything done before it was time to do the show. And I just miss not being live, on the air live with you for 2 whole days. So I miss you, I miss you, I miss everybody tremendously. But that's exactly why I always say, you know, join me on liferemix.net, join our online community, because I did blog about it. So for those of you that hit me up, Cy, where are you? What's up with the show? Just, you know, follow my blog, because I definitely blogged about it. Today, you know, is our weekly life study hosted by none other than Mr. DeJuan Boyd from Atlanta. He has his blog, which is ecklesiaatl.blogspot.com, and it's ecklesiaatl.blogspot.com. So for any of you that really like the weekly life study that he does with us, you can follow him on ecklesiaatl.blogspot.com. He always comes with a good word and really just, you know, helps us look at things from a different perspective, which is what we're all about every single day. Just want to share a couple things with you. I blogged today. I had to run to Walmart, and I am not a Walmart gal. I just am not a big fan of Walmart. But while I was in Walmart, I saw where they have this whole, like, Christmas store or Christmas something. I don't even know. It's like a store within a store of nothing but Christmas items and Christmas trees. So I took a picture with my camera phone, and I actually live blogged from Walmart this morning. And, you know, I just put on my blog, is this what Christmas is really about? So, I mean, it was a little disheartening, because I remember a time growing up, we would at least have Thanksgiving first and enjoy our family during Thanksgiving first. Then we kind of got into the Christmas. But, I mean, I've been seeing Christmas ever since the beginning of November. And, you know, I just take a look at, you know, go to CyBrown.com or CyBrown.blogspot.com and comment on it. I definitely want to hear your opinion about it. Just because this whole Christmas thing, are we rushing it? So I just felt it necessary to take a flick and blog about it. But on that note, I want us to make sure that we have the full time and the full hour with DeJuan, who just blesses us all the time. We're going to bring him into the conversation and, you know, have him talk about what we're going to talk about today. And I've got some questions ready. And typically we talk about stuff that's on our hearts and minds. So let me just bring Mr. Ecclesia ATL on the line. Hey, D, what's going on?
Yeah.
I know why you did that. That's an inside joke, everybody. Every week when he comes on, he says that, and I absolutely love it. How are you today, my brother?
Refreshed and invigorated.
There's the coolest thing, and I keep mentioning it because I still get amazed at myself that I can live blog from anywhere. But if you go to cybrown.blogspot, and just so you know, everybody, I was actually talking to D when I was in Walmart this morning. I was like, D, guess what? There is there's a picture. I'm taking a picture, and I'm going to blog about it. We have a caller on the line. I just want to see caller from 951. Are you listening, or do you have a question? Hi, caller from 951.
Hi.
Are you listening, or do you have a question?
It's Tiff.
Oh, my God, where have you been?
Tiff!
Hey!
Oh, my God, I love you. Where have you been? We've missed
you. I know. I just wanted to call and say hello and to let you know that I miss you guys and I love you. My schedule was just off, so I wasn't by the computer by the show. And I've been here the last 2 days, like, okay, finally I'm back on. And then your show's not on. Like,
yeah, for the last 2 days I had to do some stuff with my older son. I love you, and we were all sending you just such good energy. We were actually doing that, like,
thank
Monday
you.
And the end of last week, too. So do you want to stay on the line, or you want me to put you on hold?
No, no, I'm done. I just wanted to say hello, and I'll be in the chat room. Is your chat room open yet?
It sure is. It's open. Thank you so
okay.
much, and
it's
welcome. A pleasure to have you. I love you,
you
so I'm going to hang up your line now.
Okay.
Bye, Tiff.
Bye.
Oh, wow. You know what, Dee? Just, you know, even as we get into today's show, it's such a joy. And I see True in the chat room. He was saying, Sai, you know, where is everybody? It's such a pleasure that God allows me to do this every day. It's a beautiful thing. But anyway, Dee, is there anyone behind you?
Oh, yes. Because, see, we're right now traveling, going through a toll road. So, yeah, that, you know, I had to roll the window down and pay my little 50 cent.
Yes, yeah, so, well, shoot, be lucky you're in Atlanta, and it's only 50 cent. The toll up here on one of our bridges, the Verrazano Bridge, is $10.
Wow, $10. I wouldn't be doing that. That bridge is just about to stay broken for me. I just wouldn't be going that way.
$10 freaking. That's a lot of money. But tell everybody who you are so we can get right into today's show.
This is Dewan Colleon, and I get on the radio every Thursday and talk about the Ecclesia concept, the original concept of the Bible, of the fellowship, the assembly of Christ, his people, how they are supposed to interact or engage. You know, a lot of people have these ideas and paradigms about church, but the original construct was basically God's people coming together and dialoguing. If you look at the word preach, if you look at the Hebrew root of the word, it comes from the word dialogue. So basically what we do is dialogue back and forth. I'm also a co-founder of Club 981. It's a Christian virtual club. You can go online, check it out, club981lounge.com. And with a corresponding radio show, that'll jump off at the first of the year.
Wait a minute, D, that's Club 981 Lounge?
Yes. You can go get your VIP table. It's free. It's basically, it's like a MySpace Facebook, but it's not. And it's basically, you know, when you go in there, you check it out. It's very intuitive, easy to use. It's, you know, everything you would expect in a club except the drunk people and the people, you know, violent, stuff like that. It's none of that type of stuff. Virtual Urban Gospel Club, we focus on music, the latest entertainment news and, you know, life topics and stuff like that. So you go on there, get your own table, set it up, interact, meet some people, network, you know. That's how we do it over there.
Well, I am happy to have you. As always, let's jump right into today's show. You want to start?
Okay, I see you got the, you know, the double dutch jump rope going, so I'm going to jump in there. and I think we're going to continue where we were last week because I think
okay.
It's very important. Last week we were talking about the prayer in quotation life, you know. Basically, we're in this multitasking world, and we're trying to get a lot accomplished in a finite amount of time. And the reality is, you know, I heard a preacher say one time, the most important thing you can do in life, when you look on somebody's head, tombstone or something like that, you see their birth date, and then you'll see their ending date. But the most important is that dash. What you actually do in between those times is most important. And we spend a lot of our time trying to do a lot of different things, but at the end of the day, knowing that we all have to stand before God at some point to account for the deeds that we've done, for the fruit that we produced or lack of fruit that we produced in our lives, it's most important that you would want to do things that count, do things that are important, do things that are pleasing to God. So in all our busyness, we also must rest because God employed his people to rest, not only just on a physical day, the Sabbath, the seventh day, but actually have a lifestyle where we take time out and reflect and be introspective in him. So what we're trying to do is a Generation X, Generation Y people, you know, we used to doing it all and making it happen and being on the grind 24/7. And now they got these phones that can surf the web and talk to people and text all at the same time. It really just makes it difficult for you to be able to just focus in on one thing, like sit back somewhere, go in a prayer closet, and get your instructions for your day from God. So that's what we are going to continue our part two on. And I think a very, very, very good story to kind of reflect the topic. The topic today is our will versus God's will. We come through this, you know, this juxtaposition where we have free choice. We have the ability to choose the things that we want to do. The Bible says, choose you which this day whom you're going to serve. You have the ability to do right. You have the ability to do wrong. You have the ability to, you know, request those things that you desire, but at the same time, you have the things of God, his will, on earth as is done in heaven, to decide what are you going to do. And there's a balance, a fine line that you have to be able to, you know, walk between, you know, your will and his will. And in reality, you really have to submit your complete will, your own personal choices, to him, because ultimately he knows the beginning from the end. You know, we discussed last week, you know, the whole concept of time is not just a linear concept from point A to B. It's not a line. Time is more cyclical. If you study the Bible, time revolves. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes, everything that was also will be. There's nothing new under the sun. If you look at the seasons, if you look at the things in nature, whether it's the trees gathering leaves in the spring and then losing them in the fall, and then they come back again in the spring, and you look at the birds and the butterflies that do the same exact trek south every year. Everything happens in a cycle. I mean, you understand that with God, then you understand those patterns. So if you have your Bibles with you,
I do.
You can turn to Genesis chapter 4.
All right, Genesis.
And I think this is a very good story to illustrate the paradox that we face between our will versus God's will or plan for our lives. And, you know, Sidus does a great job of being our Bible reader. She's like our elder in the church. She comes to the podium after they do announcements, and then she cracks open her big Bible from our coffee table, and she breaks it down. So we're going to let her break it down.
So we're reading Genesis chapter 4 about Cain and Abel.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm confused. How does that have to do with... Okay, am I reading the whole thing?
No, or I'll tell you when to stop. I'm telling you, it's going to all come together. It's going to coordinate. Check it out.
Oh, so should I start reading?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Okay.
Look at the teleprompter.
Yeah, we don't have a teleprompter in the studio. We're not on TV. Genesis chapter 4. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you're under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, keep reading.
Well, we're going to keep reading, but I want to kind of comment on what's happened so we can see how this court coordinates.
Okay.
See, basically, we're talking about what? We're talking about our will, what we want to do, what we feel like we want to do. The Bible says there are things that seem right unto a man, but it's not always the ways of God. God, obviously, in this story, told Cain and Abel a certain way they had to sacrifice. There was a certain sacrifice that would be acceptable to God. I mean, it was laid out. It was a pattern. Hey, y'all do this, it's we good. So Abel took, you know, the acceptable sacrifice, which was he had animals, calves, lambs that actually shed blood, that was a foreshadow or a symbolic of Christ coming 2,000 years later at the cross. So God had, you know, all of that in the plan even way back in Genesis. So he was like, this is an acceptable sacrifice. Now, Cain had free will. He had the choice to do what he wanted to do. And he was like, yo, I don't raise livestock. I'm not a shepherd. And I work very hard with what I do. I do a lot, you know, the fruits and vegetables, the stuff that I work on in the ground, I think that's hot. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to present to the Lord. That's my will. But God was like, man, you can't do that. That's not my perfect will. That's not my plan. If you do what I asked you to do, you'll be accepted. But if you don't, sin is at the door waiting on you. So what you have is a situation in life where God gives a perfect will, a perfect plan, whether it's, you know, I want you to move over here or take this job or go to this school or do this or do that. There is a perfect will that God has for us to do in a certain situation. Yet we have free choice to do what we want to do and, you know, try to make it hot on our own. But there's ramifications to that. You know, Cain could do what he wanted to do, but God was like, that's cool, but I'm not going to accept that. You know, that's the paradox that we face in a lot of cases. There are things that we want to do that we have the free will to do, the free choice to do, but if God has set a blueprint, an icon to click on for us to do, it will behoove us to do it because, I mean, we're taught and we believe that, hey, you know, God is love. He's just going to like everything I do. You know, he's going to be down with that, even despite the fact that he gives, like, a clear edict, some commands, some direction of what we're supposed to do in a certain situation. So Cain does what he want to do. And if you go down, I believe in verse 16, if you could read that, I think it's right, because, you know, I'm in the car right now. So
no, it's all good. So I'm going to start at 16.
I want you to read 16 because I believe this makes a point that I wanted to make.
Oh, okay. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived the land of Nod, east of Eden. And
yeah, that's it.
And according to, I'm reading from the New International Version, it says Nod means wandering. Ouch.
Yeah, and see, you got to think about it. After he did what he wanted to do, it caused him to be out of the presence of God, and that's the place we don't want to be. A lot of times doing what we want to do, doing our will, the ramifications is that if you're going to be in the presence of God, you need to do what he want to do. Just like if you're a parent, you have kids, in order for them to stay in your house, they got to do your rules. When they get too big and too long, they got to get up out of there if they're trying to do their own thing.
Right.
So that's, you know, what we face. We have that so many times in life. We get in these situations, circumstances, and we be like, oh God, where are you?
Right.
And after we didn't cry all our snots and all that type of stuff and did all that, and then he'd be like, well, I didn't leave you. You choices and decisions and got yourself out of my presence doing your own thing. So I believe that story kind of gives us a microcosm of what we face in each and every decision. That's why it says in the Bible you have to pray without ceasing, that you constantly seek the will of God in everything you do. Just like we talked about last week, Christ could do anything. You know, he could walk on water. He can heal people, turn water into wine. You know, he could just get it crunk anytime he wanted to. But he was like, I'm not going to do that. I only do what I see what the Father does. Not my will, but the Father's will. He constantly, always, despite he had all these superpowers, like he was Hancock or some superhero. He just didn't go around.
You said Hancock?
Yeah. I mean, he could have went around and just been Bogarting everybody. He just could have just been just like Hancock. But he didn't do that. He submitted all his powers to God and only did those things that God called him to do. And his perfect will was done with him. He was obedient in everything, and that's a pattern. That's something to shoot for, something that we should model ourselves after. And, you know, I know this sounds like, being a Christian, this just sounds like it sucks. It seems like we don't get to do anything we want to do. It just seems like Simon Says. But the caveat in this is that when you really desire to please God and you love God and you want to do his will, after a while, you will become fulfilled and pleased, and it actually will make you happy doing the things that are pleasing to him. Just like your kids, you know. After a while, if they're good kids, if they're not Bebe's kids or Hellions or Spawns or Chucky or somebody, after a while, they should be happy to do what you tell them to do, you know, because they know it pleases you and they feel all good. So, I mean, that's the pattern that is set. So,
but
I know you got questions.
Can I ask a quick question? So, all right, we had this conversation about doing what we want to do, and, you know, when I come to you, you know, like around Tuesday or Monday to see what should we talk about this week, I talk about stuff that's a very real issue with me. And it's because I had a situation this week where I was like, you know what, I want to do this. There's something I want to do. And then I got confused because I'm like, Dad, now is this what God wants me to do? You know, so now I'm wrestling in my brain. Am I hearing right from God? Am I doing the right thing? And so then I said, well, if God gives me free will to do what Cy wants to do, am I abusing it by taking advantage of that gift? But now you're saying if I do it because he said I could do it, now I'm wandering in the wilderness, I'm kind of on my own.
Well, I mean, well, you gotta qualify that. You got the free will, but what you do over the course of time is that your desires and will gets to a point to please God, please Christ. So those things that you want to do line up with him. They're in submission to what he wants to do. No different than a child is to their parents. They may want to do this or do that, but they'd be like, well, my dad or my mom really wants me to do that, so I'm going to do that. So that's where the synergy is supposed to take place. The things that we want to do over the course of time, our desires, our will is supposed to line up with his, then you don't have this conflict going on. You don't have these situations. And it's not something that happens overnight. It's just a period of time. It's no different than a marriage. Two people come together. Wife has a will. She got an agenda. She got a plan. Husband got a will. He got an agenda, a plan. And that first year, oh, my goodness, it's hell. You got people fighting for their own territory and their own ideas. But if you stick it out and you work it out and you keep going through it, eventually the husband and wife, they get on the same page. What she
right.
wants to do is what he wants to do, and vice versa. And there's you know, a synergy there. But that only happens with relationship. That's why, you know, Life Remix is about, it's not about religion, but it's about establishing a relationship. That's what Christ constantly taught and preached. He dialogued about establishing a relationship, a personal relationship, to where you and the Creator, you get on his page so that y'all are on the same page in the things that you do. So that, therefore, people, as the Bible says, everything that you are, you're everything that you move and your being is in him. You know, Christ says, if you are part, if you are in him, if you are part of the vine, you're able to produce fruit in him, through him. We're supposed to take his victory at the cross, his the provision to allow us to come into fellowship with him and the Father, and capitalize on that by moving in synchronization to his will and the things he wants to do. So it takes time for everything to sync up, but once it does, you know, you should be smooth sailing.
Well, just a couple things that are happening in the chat room. Mama Smokey, who I just love so much, she says, you know, just taking the conversation back just a couple minutes, I didn't want to interrupt, if you have peace about it, then it's the right answer. And I remember long time ago just hearing, you know, if Creflo Dollar, whether, no matter, you know, what you feel about him, he does have access to people that a lot of people don't have access to because he's on TV. And I'll share, when I first really started my walk, I watched Creflo Dollar because he's on TV every day at 5 a.m. Dee, do me a favor. It's just I hear a little bit of feedback. You know, but I watch Creflo Dollar because he's on TV. I want to learn. You know, he taught. So anyway, I don't have to explain. I shouldn't have to explain it, but I'm at a different place now. But I still dig him for what he does. He has thousands of people following him. Oh, well. But one thing he did say, he said, if you ever have to make a decision and you're not sure if this is if this decision is the right decision, there's two ways to figure it out. Number one, does it line up with the Bible? And number two, do you have peace about it? And that's the same thing that Mama Smokey just said, that, you know, if you have peace about it, then it's the right answer. And I live by that. If there's something that I have to keep thinking twice or going back, then I'm like, you know what, I don't think this is the right thing. So I really actually live that. Like, if I feel like, oh, okay, I'm comfortable with that, then I know it's the right decision. And he just added the other component, does it line up with the Bible? Which, you know, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, then, you know, it can vary based on what version you read, what this, what that. But I think the core of that is, do you have peace in your spirit about it? And if you do, then you have to trust that that's the right thing. Let me just read you a couple things, Dee, that are in the chat room. Well, there was some fun conversation going on about church and church etiquette. Mama Smokey said there was a lot of activity in the chat room, and she said, hush, that she's trying to get up on this lesson. And High Road said, I like this brother. Yeah, I like Dee, too. She asked, how old are you? Dee, how old are you? Wait, how do we say, tell the truth? Look, tell the truth and stay in church.
Oh, stay in church. Well, I'm in virtual church. First of all, I got to give a shout out to Mama Smokey. I got that email. We're going to handle that business next week over the holidays. Just let me know how we can make that jump off and we can do it. I'm actually a very young 76 years old.
Huh?
Why y'all get quiet? Hello? Hello?
How are you 76 years old? You are not 76 years old.
How come I can't be 76? Quincy Jones is about 86, and he still know all the hot end things and all that type of stuff. You know, that's how I pattern myself out. I'm like a Harry Belafonte, him, Quincy Jones, 76-year-old preacher man.
How are you 76? Maybe your soul is 76. Maybe you've been here before. Oh, can we do a show on
that? Okay, I'm 36 years old because I see the ushers over here looking at me.
Yeah, because the ushers know your mama. So you're 36. There's your, she said 32. Oh, wait a minute. Mama Smokey said your soul is 32.
Okay.
Can we do a show on that? I don't know if it's appropriate. High Road said he's an old soul. Can we do a show on this one day about past life regression or age or something like that? I hope it doesn't freak some people out, but I want us to explore that too. Old, you know, like how High Road said he's an old soul. Tiff hit it right on the head where she said he's 36. Mama Smokey said your soul is 76. Can we look into that, like past life regression or karma? Mama Smokey said you could do whatever you want. I guess I can because this is my show. But you know, I want to make sure that that's something to either believe, refute, understand. Let's look into it. So I want to look into it and understand biblically where we stand with that. Oh, hello, open-minded. Hello, welcome to Life Remix Radio. It's a pleasure having you with us today. It's 12:30. I guess I should thank everybody in the chat room. Hello to open-minded, Mama Smokey, The High Road, Tiff. Tiff, I'm so happy you're joining us today. Dropping Seed Radio and True View. We have our Life Remix family. Everybody's here together. What is the significance of 76? Did you just pull it out of the air, D?
No, because I really am 76 years old. And I know how to make my voice sound like I'm 36 from time to time. I'm an old Baptist preacher. Got one of them churches with a white picket fence in the backwood graveyard. Everybody that ever went to my church is buried right there in the back, four generations deep.
You know what? I saw that for the first, and I don't want to deviate too much from today's topic. Let's get back on point.
We got to get back on message. The producer of the show is pointing and saying, get back to the topic.
Well, yeah, but one more thing. I saw that for the first time. You know, I'm in New York, so we don't have, like, cemeteries like that. And I went to Louisiana. Unfortunately, my husband's cousin was murdered some years ago, and he's from Louisiana. And when we went to Louisiana, they buried him in the back of the church. I had never seen that before, like in the back of the
church. I mean,
it's the
church. You never leave. I mean, think about it. You get baptized there, and you die there. I mean, it's a one-stop shop. That's how they do it down south.
I've never seen that before. Well, yeah, down south, because in New York or the Northeast, I've never seen, and then also in Louisiana, they bury you in cement above the ground. So, I mean, I guess because it's swampy or something, so I had never seen that. But, yeah, I know my grandmother always says you should belong to a church because you need to make sure you have arrangements for when you die. So I guess that was her philosophy and reasoning for being a faithful church member, because they need some place to do your funeral. God bless her. You know, she was on the show a couple weeks ago for election. But anyway, let's get back to today's topic. Our will versus God's will.
Well, I want to go back to a point that was earlier made, and it's a critical, critical, critical point. People, you were saying, and people were suggesting that you get to a point to where an important decision where you feel peace about it and you feel like you make the right decision. And I can agree with that. But what you got to understand, the Bible says, Christ says, my sheep know my voice. So the thing is, you have to really have a dialogue and a relationship with God to the point that you actually know his voice so that you can know, you know, when to feel peace about something. Because,
right,
you know, the Bible says, you know, the devil comes as an angel of light, and there are examples in the Bible where God allowed people to get their prayers answered on things that were not his will, but because they didn't know him like that, you know, he let them get the answer that they wanted, even though it wasn't the right answer. But they weren't in a relationship enough to know, you know, his will or his voice versus their own or the adversary's voice. So at the end of the day, there's no shortcut, there's no book, there's no tape, there's no DVD, MP3, or podcast that you can get that can get you around the heavy lifting of building and establishing a relationship with God so that you can have a personal relationship and know His will for your life. You know, you can't go to the altar and give a certain amount of money and get people to pray over you or breathe on you and all this other type of stuff so that you, there's no way to circumvent the processes that a Christian must undertake in order to mature, no different than a person. A person just doesn't jump out the womb and start walking. They got to crawl. They got to get diaper changed and potty trained, and then they got to go to school or home school, high school, college. There's a matriculation process, and that process is inherent with being a Christian. Is you can't circumvent it by buying the latest DVD series, even though you can get some information out of this stuff. You're still going to have to apply it to yourself, no different than working out. You got to go work out. You can't watch nobody else work out. You got to actually do it yourself for the change to take place. So it's no different than how you have to be in your own personal, individual Christian walk.
But I've heard that, and I've said to my young people, you can't pay somebody to do your push-ups. Do you see what I'm saying?
I like that.
You can't pay somebody to do your push-ups. You have to get on that floor and do your push-ups, because if they get down and you think they're doing your push-ups, it only strengthens them. You're still the weakling that you were with the same level of understanding, and now you're out of your money because you paid somebody else to do the hard work. It doesn't work like that. And I say all the time, are you trying to pay me to do your push-ups? You can't do that. It's not going to work. You have to get down. And in the chat room, I just saw everyone has to pick up their own cross. The High Road put everyone has to pick up their own cross. Open-minded one adds, knowledge brings the right guidance. If people knew better, they would do better. Well, open-minded one, you're absolutely right. That's exactly why we're here every day, and especially on Thursdays when Dewan joins us, because this is what we're doing. We're trying to know better so we can do better. We should not hold on to most of the ways of the old generation. We shouldn't, but I think we can't discount them either. We have
no, because the Bible says, forsake not the old paths. You got to keep some of them old ways, because them old ways sometimes be the right way.
Well, yeah, but you also can't, you know, that's why a lot of people are saying the NAACP, and I believe Julian Bond, who's the head of the NAACP, is not running to be head, you know, for moving forward. He said, I'm 68 years old. It's time to let some younger people take over, because a civil rights march arm in arm in the street may not be the most effective means of getting our voice heard in the age of technology. You see what I'm saying? So that's when I think the gift of discernment comes in, where we know exactly what to do in what situation at the exact moment we need to do it.
Yeah, that's right, because even in the Bible, even in the early temple or the early tabernacle service, the priests were only supposed to serve to about 50 years old. And then once they got 50 years old, they were supposed to retire and let the next group of priests come take over. It wasn't this thing where somebody was a continually in the tabernacle doing the service of the priest. Only person that did that continually until death was the high priest. But regular preachers or priests in the Bible, they did that thing until 50, and then they switched it out, they remixed it. And I think that's what we don't have enough of nowadays. You don't have the old guard or the people that's past 50 and 60 passing the torch and allowing the thing to remix and let somebody else come in. It's like they get their little opportunity and they shine and they get their spot. They don't want to let it go, but they they may not be relevant or understand the issues that are important of the day and the ramifications of certain decisions that people have to deal with today. So that's a very critical point. Let's take some questions from the chat room.
Okay, let me read what's going on in the chat room. Hold on. Oh, Annie just joined us. Hey, Annie, I see you in the chat room, my darling. It's good to see you. Okay, let me read some of the stuff. Mama Smokey, this is a new world with a new understanding being born, with the old knowledge being implemented. It goes back to ebb and flow. Take what you need from the old and use it in the new. And then open-minded one said, for instance, Mama used salt pork in the greens. We must learn to use turkey. It's just better for our health. Well, yeah, you're absolutely right, because now to take it to another level, some people won't even use turkey. They have other alternative ways to season their greens. So, you know, and Tiff just put, I didn't even read that, and Tiff just put, and then Tiff, we're so here, and then learn to use no animal products because that's the best. Take what you need from the old and use it as the new. Tiff, I was thinking the same thing, and then you actually said it. Sorry if there was just a little feedback that second. We follow so many traditions blindly. And then Annie, I've got to bring you on as a guest because you talk about diabetes all the time, and I think that's something that really needs to be explored and studied. She put, so true, and these traditions of eating cause diabetes. Garlic, I love garlic. I go through probably a big jar of garlic a week because we eat so much garlic. But let me just share something else. Many of our traditions haven't changed since slavery, and this is the high road saying this. They didn't serve or empower us, and they don't now. Some things need to be done away with to make room for a higher wisdom, and that's said by the high road. But you know what? And those who are, you know, really enlightened comment on this. I think some of our food takes us to a place where we can't hear from God. And this is just my guess. This is not based on anything. But if I'm a coffee drinker and I'm down to just like 1.5 like regular sized coffee cups in the morning because I get up really early. So I make a pot when I wake up and then maybe heat up a half cup more, you know, maybe around 7 or 8 o'clock. But I know that caffeine gets me going and I'm stirred up and I'm cranking out my work. But that, I don't know, the speed it up. I know that's not the right way to say it, but that speed it up, sped up, however you say it, heart rate and pace, I can't connect with God because my mind is racing. And I think, too, without reaching too far, when we're eating meat and we're eating certain foods, that changes the dynamic of our body where we may be unable or may prevent us from connecting with God just because too much stuff is going on our insides. And I think that's one of the reasons why we should probably fast too, right?
Absolutely.
Oh my God, the high road just said that's why fasting is so powerful. Okay, let me read some of this stuff. Hold on. Oh,
I mean, you think about it.
Yeah. Oh, wait, can I read this real
prayer.
Quickly? Oh, okay, you go.
Yeah,
no,
I was just going to make a two-second thing. Like
Hyrule
said, like he said, I mean, it's all about a cycle. You have to incorporate different things in your life constantly and press repeat, whether it's prayer, fasting, exercise. These things you have to incorporate. You just can't just work and grind 24/7 all the time.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. Our eating has a lot to do with our mental state as black people. And I think it goes – all right, well, I'm going to get into that in a minute. Hold on, because we got to stay on what we're talking about today, our will versus God's will. But hold on a minute. That's why fasting is so important. Mama Smokey said drink green tea instead. Tiff said, I've tested it myself, and it's very true. Tiff says, Cy is on point today. I had to be on point today. I felt so awful about not seeing y'all yesterday, not doing a live show. I said, I have to come with it good today. Open-minded one said, just don't drink so much. Are you kidding? I used to drink like a venti, espresso, latte from Starbucks every day, like two of them. You know, so now I'm down to, I make a pot. When I say a pot, I just mean enough for like one cup and then a little bit more like later on in the morning. But I'll tell you one thing, I crash every day at 3 o'clock. I can almost count, tell the time based on the fact when I'm getting ready to crash because I couldn't figure out why every day I started getting tired at 3 o'clock. I'm like, what is wrong with me? Is something wrong with me? Well, what's happening is because I drink my coffee at the same time every morning because I get up at the same time, I am crashing at the same time every day. So I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. But anyway, that's enough about that. Hold on. Fasting is great. Someone told me once our bodies are like cars. Make sure you don't put too many miles on it. Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. It's unfortunate, but church no longer addresses our social ills. I think we should eat to live, Tiff. Oh, hey, how elegant. Sandy just joined us. Hey, how elegant. Thanks for joining us in the chat room. If you have a balanced diet, you won't need coffee or any other energy stimulant. Yeah, you're right, but I'm addicted. So that's my addiction. And I knew I was addicted because when I don't drink coffee, I get a headache. So that's that. And I'm not giving up coffee, so don't ask. High Road says, Sai, you sound like a junkie. Yeah, it's for coffee and chocolate chip cookies. Those are my two vices. Let me go back. I was addicted to coffee. I loved how comforting it was when it goes down your insides. Well, I'll tell you, I went out to breakfast with my friend, and we ordered juice, and I ordered a coffee just so I could have it in front of me. So that's bad. Anyway, D, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. We got off on a tangent. Just wanted to read some stuff happening in the chat room because our chat room is oh so active. It's a blessing, but we have a very active chat room. So, anyway, let's get back to Cain and Abel and what happened with that. So can I finish reading?
Yeah.
Or do I not need to?
Well, basically, that was pretty much the synopsis of the story of what I was trying to pull out of there to show you the consequences of what can happen when you're faced with the choice of free will versus a clear directive of what God wants you to do in a certain situation and how the scenario can play out. It doesn't always have to be disastrous where, Cain kills somebody or something like that, but 10 times out of 10, when God has his will for something, it's always going to work to our advantage or our good. It's going to benefit us. That's why, he's not trying, to ruin our lives and make things horrible. So, when he sets something out for us, it's for a greater good, greater purpose. But at the same time, based on our level of faith, and our ability to trust what he's saying, that's where we vacillate between our will, the things that we want to do, because we don't trust or have the faith to rely on what he's asking us to do, because we feel like, hey, we know what's best for ourselves. We know how to make this thing work, and whatever don't work out, I know for myself, I always had this great fear that if I just do whatever God wanted me to do, I'll be on the side of the road with a sign talking about the end of the world is coming. That was just my vision for myself. And I was like, man, if I just do whatever God wanted me to do, he's going to have me out somewhere like John the Baptist eating locusts or somewhere, just looking crazy. But it's not always like that.
Yeah, well, something. I was listening to this CD where this woman channels an inner person. Yeah, well, I listen, I'm searching and listening. And this inner person was saying how when you walk out of the presence of God, you're basically naked. And the core of the message was that you can choose whatever you want. whatever you want. But that's part of the premise of choose life, not death. And when you look at it in a figurative sense, literally nobody wants to choose death unless we're on a path to suicide. But when you're looking at it from a figurative sense, there's a lot more to it than I choose life and I curse death. And I think we have to search moment by moment, second by second, decision by decision. When I was out at breakfast this morning, my girlfriend and I were saying, we're all one bad decision away from being homeless, one bad decision away from being in poverty, one bad decision away from being bankrupt. And when you have to make a decision, you can either go left and right, left or right. Maybe God wants you to go left, and you choose to go right. So now you're going down the right road, figuratively, not literally. Now you have to make another decision. Do I go left or do I go right? This time you go left. Now you have to make another. You go right. You're so far away from the direction in which you're supposed to go. That's how walking in the wilderness feels. Like, you know how, what was the story? Was it Hansel and Gretel where they left the breadcrumbs? I think they were walking through the forest or something and left the breadcrumbs. You're so far away. You've deviated so far off path. Now you're confused. You don't know, do I go left, right, up, down, north, south, east, or west? But that's because you started off on the wrong path and then just kept making little bad decisions or going in the wrong direction so frequently and so many times. You don't even know how to get back. You're lost. Let me just, what are you going to say, D?
I'm going to say we have the topic for next week's show already right now.
We do?
Yes, because I see, listening to you, we need to get some clarification on the voice or discerning the sound of God, because so many people are searching and looking to try to hear that voice, whether it's through channeling inner people or psychics or 1-800 numbers or palm readers. The Bible is very explicit and detailed about all of that and how it works and why you shouldn't do it, or, you know, the whole gamut. So that'll be like this part three of you're trying to hear from God, you're trying to discern His will, but we got to make sure that we're looking in the right places.
Okay, let me read something that Mama Smokey just put, and it speaks exactly to what you just said. We can be led in the wrong direction if we fail to understand who they, master manipulators, are. And Mama Smokey put, it's all about the choice God gave us, and with that knowledge, if we need His help, He is there. Tiff said, I like to look to it as being in a tunnel. It's your choice how deep you're going to walk in darkness, but you better be prepared for the creatures that lurk in the darkness the further you walk, the smaller the light at the end of the tunnel gets. Open-minded one said, the voice is simple. You don't even have to be religious to hear the voice of right. This is true. If you walk back towards the light, it will be challenging because you have to face darkness again, and they will try to keep you in the tunnel. Oh, my God.
And then you got to think about it.
My God.
I definitely want to talk about that on the next Thursday show. But the reality is, a lot of times when people, they may hear the voice of God, but they may be so hell-bent on doing a certain thing that they're going to look for confirmation through the horoscope or the fortune cookie or
that was me.
The Devin. Huh?
That was me. That was exactly me. I knew what God was telling me, but I didn't believe it. I am so, I have no confidence. It's ridiculous. So I'm looking for confirmation here.
You don't say you don't have confidence. You got confidence. You're on the air. You're talking right now.
Well, I mean, oh, come on. All right, well, let me say it this way. I knew and know what God wants me to do, but because I doubted it in my own head, I would look for confirmation elsewhere. And because of that.
It's no different. Think about it. It's no different. And people in the Bible used to do the same thing. Gideon heard from God, but he still wanted God to confirm stuff by, he you'd lay out a gold a fleece on the ground and say, don't make it wet and make all the ground around it wet. You know, people have always said you ask God for certain signs because they just didn't trust or have the faith enough yet to discern his voice. So it's, you're not alone. You're not somebody that's doing something different. But still, like I said, there's different levels of growth that you get to, that you want to get to a point where you don't, as the scriptures say, try to test God all the time and try to get him, you know, like, you know, it's like if I tell my kids, don't go out in the street.
Right.
And they'd be like, well, Daddy, can you make ice cream fall out the sky first so I can know that you don't want me to go out in the street? At a certain point, you've got to be able to trust what I'm telling them and believe
what I'm saying.
I shouldn't have to come up and do all this crazy stuff to get you to trust. And I think that's what it just boils down to.
There's
trust.
A scripture in the Bible that speaks to that, where Jesus is saying, what more do you want? Does he have to keep performing signs and miracles? You know, I think it's in the book of Mark, where Jesus was performing.
Yeah, he said a perverse generation looks for a sign. A perverse generation looks for a sign. At a certain point, if you are stuck at the sign phase, that's all you're going to look for is a sign, whether it's through a crystal ball, whatever. You begin to take on the character traits of a perverse generation. Perverse, somebody that wants to do what they want to do contrary to the norms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a paraphrase of that. But basically, that's what it is. And it all ties back into us wrestling with our will and our freedom of choice versus the things that he wants us to do, his will, and being able to trust that, to be able to hear it, trust it, have the faith to act on it and move on it and believe it. And it just boils down to those pillars, those constructs, which is faith and being able to hear and trust. Faith and trust, those are the things. And then if you have the trust, and you therefore you'll activate your faith, you'll ultimately will be obedient to the will. So you got to be able to follow that process, and it's not an overnight thing. It's not something that light bulbs just come on and just bam, you just super Christian with an S on your chest, up under your shirt.
D.
Yes.
True just told me we have 2 minutes, but I was busy reading the chat room. We're down to 90 seconds, so say something quick so I can do our closing prayer. I didn't realize we're down to 90 seconds.
You can go ahead and do the closing prayer, but
okay.
I think we're going to continue this and go into discerning the voice of God next week. Looking for God in all the wrong places.
Oh, looking for God in all the wrong places. I love it. Looking for God in all the wrong places. Everybody, I love you. It's about a personal accountability. Oh, this is so good. Guess what I did, everybody, while we were talking? I copied the chat room and posted it to the blog. So you can go to either cybrown.com and read it in our online community, or you can just go to cybrown.blogspot.com. Mama Smokey said, D, your wisdom is so awesome. So I wanted to let you know what she just said. And Tiff just said, I love her, Annie. She's so real and brash. anyway, thank you, everybody. I missed you all doing a live show. I'm happy I'm back, just dealing with my son and his stuff. Always remember that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is, and wherever you are, God is. I love you all for listening. Thanks, God. And so it is. I will see everybody right here tomorrow. And Monday, we're going to do a whole show on diabetes. I can't get the link, but what day is the show from? I don't know what that means. Tiff, hit me up. Thanks for the love, Cy, open-minded one. No doubt. I love everybody. Can I post a friend show link? Yeah, hurry up. Love you guys. See you tomorrow. Bye.